Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We go to the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, and we welcome in Doug Deacon, as we do every Thursday morning. Hello, Doug.
Good morning, Ken.
It's wonderful to speak to you, friend.
Enjoying your bye week?
Are you enjoying your bye week?
Oh, yeah.
What's the wildest thing, as a player, what's the wildest thing you ever did during the bye week?
I never had a bye week when I was a player.
There was no bye weeks?
No, you didn't have bye weeks.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Why?
They never thought of it.
When did they think of bye weeks?
I think, you know, once they extended the season from 14 to 16 games, after a while, I think they just figured, you know, you can get one more week out of it, and that's another week of TV revenue.
Ooh, man, that is a good idea. Well, I'm sorry you didn't get through it. Well, you had how long was your training camp?
Probably about a good month, sometimes 5 weeks.
So you had that long, and then you had no bye week, and you made about a quarter of what they do now.
A quarter, hardly.
Man, that just...
But hey, you know, the thing is, the game has really evolved, and it's, you know, it's become a show business. And, you know, I always think of those guys like, you know, Marion Motley and Otto Graham, you know, what little they got, and, you know, they're the guys that really made the game.
Very true. Doug Deacon joining us on the show. This is actually a bit of a dangerous time. We'll jump into a lot of other things, Doug, but this might be a little bit of a dangerous time for the Browns. They had a big win. They get the whole week off, and then before they take on Cincinnati, which obviously has some legs now, they have a holiday week before that. Is this feeling a little bit like a trap? Are you worried about how sharp they come out next Sunday?
Well, I think anytime you come out of a bye week, you know, there's usually that first quarter. I'm thinking we played somebody earlier this year, and they were a little sluggish coming out of the bye week. And I'm trying to think who it was, and that's just, you know, the tendency that you see. I was over Pittsburgh. I think they'd had their bye week, and the first quarter they were so-so, and then all of a sudden, you know, Big Ben started to light it up.
Doug Deacon joining us on the hotline. Yesterday, John Dorsey speaking at that press conference. Any big takeaways? Obviously, he chooses his words very carefully, talking about Greg Williams and the chances he has to come back. But any big takeaway for you yesterday listening to that?
No, not really. You know, I think it was one of those where he just kind of saying a lot without saying, you know, much. And obviously, you know, they have a list, and, you know, he didn't want to talk about who the committee was going to be, and I think, you know, obviously it'd be, you know, him and Alonzo and Elliott, and those are the people that obviously have had a lot of experience in the game of football. They haven't had a lot of experience picking coaches, but so far they've done a pretty darn good job picking players.
Doug Deacon with us on the show. What do you look forward? What qualities do you look for in a head coach?
Well, I think the game has shifted to such an offensive game. I think you need somebody there, and you sit there and you say, well, you know, they kept you for the first eight games or so. And, well, if John Dorsey had been able to come in, you wonder, would he have gotten Matt Nagy before he went to the Bears? Because, you know, that was somebody that he was, you know, comfortable with. And obviously he's done a good job in Chicago. And, you know, the other thing, you know, I kind of amazes me is, you know, about a year ago we were talking about A.J. McCarron, and, you know, you had that big thing about, oh, he wanted that quarterback. They were going to give up a second and a third-round draft pick for him to Cincinnati. And, you always knew when if you failed, he was probably going to end up back in Cincinnati. So it's one of those that you sit there and say, boy, are we glad we didn't do that.
Were you listening or something when I said that? Who told you I said that?
No, I was thinking that a long time ago.
You were first to it, Doug. Oh, my God. Hey, real quick, who was the bigger hard-ass? Was it Nick Skorich or Forrest Gregg?
Oh, Forrest Gregg by far.
Really?
You know, and Forrest had a similar situation. He got let go here, and he ended up going down to Cincinnati and coaching down there. And, you know, the Brown family and the Modells didn't get along real well, and anything they could do to rub it in. And of course, Forrest did have some success down there. He took a team to the Super Bowl. Unfortunately for him, the 49ers beat him.
Well, it seems that Hugh Jackson was more of a, you know, quote-unquote player's coach. I know a lot of fans like a hard-nose approach. I don't know if we're going to get that in 2018, to be honest with you. How much of a jarring moment could it be if they were to bring in more of a hard-nosed, no-nonsense coach, more of a guy like Greg Williams, than it would be with Hugh Jackson, where you had a lot of young players, like maybe it was from 74 to 75 when Forrest Gregg took over for you?
I think, you know, a lot of these players are used to a hard-nosed coach from college. I mean, if you played for Nick Saban, I think it wouldn't be an adjustment. And during my tenure, I think for the most part, every time they had a hard-nosed coach, the next coach was a player's coach. I mean, you go from Forrest to Sam, and you go from Bud Carson to Bill Belichick. I mean, Bud was, you know, player's coach, and Belichick was, you know, hard-nosed. So it's always, you know, like they go the opposite direction the next time they hire a coach for the most part. But, you know, hey, it's the guy that, you know, can get the most out of the players. And I think, you know, what we saw, you know, from the Browns last week, I thought Greg Williams got a lot out of that football team because they played with a lot of intensity, and the execution was good. We didn't have to worry about the refereeing after the game because they took care of business on the field.
Doug, I want to ask you, because there's been about three different inflection points in this season where everybody's kind of had this race to talk about what the Browns are. It happened after the Jets win, then it certainly happened after the Ravens win, and now it's happening again. Does it feel this time like it's different? Because fans did overreact to the win over the Ravens, and there were people even saying that maybe the team is well-coached after that, and we all know what happened.
No, I think it's when you got a young football team and you're playing in a different kind of league, you got to, you know how to win, how to close the deal. And against Atlanta, they closed the deal. But, you know, there's other games we've had this season where they just couldn't finish. And, you know, the one thing, they got off to a good start. They finally scored a touchdown in the first quarter last week. So all of a sudden, you know, they're not chasing the other team. They got a chance to, you know, take it to the other team defensively. And I thought, you know, that goal line stand was excellent. Obviously, you know, Atlanta is a team that, you know, they had a problem on goal line the last couple of years. You know, they had that meltdown in the Super Bowl, and then last year they had a chance. They were in the playoffs again. They're the only NFC team that made the playoffs 2 years in a row. But, you know, they got down to the two-yard line in a playoff game, and they couldn't get it in. And we saw the same problem last week.
Doug Deacon with us on the show. So if you could use a word to describe the Browns' identity right now, or a phrase, what would you use?
I think a team on the move. I think they're a young team that's improving, you know, learning to, you know, get confidence in one another. You know, when you have a quarterback that's 17 out of 20, you know, you start believing, you know, a little bit when you see the numbers and you see the performance. You have a running back that, you know, breaks off a 92-yard run. And, you know, you're saying, well, you know, we can hand him the ball, you know, and he's going to get it for us. And I think you start believing in, you know, one another. And, you know, sometimes you hope to win, and sometimes you know you're going to win. And I think that's where you got to turn the corner.
Doug Deacon with us on the hotline. So as we look forward to the rest of the year, there's going to be thoughts about what this team does. You know, finishing strong, can they get these coaches to actually stay on the coaching staff and all of that? I mean, how much stock would you put into this at the end of the year? Because obviously, for the most part, the Browns are pretty much not in the playoff hunt, although it gets interesting if they win maybe two more. How can you evaluate what these guys are doing?
Well, I think just, you know, how they play, you know, if you see improvement, if you see you know, them taking it to the next level, you know, learning how to, when you get all these turnovers, how to get points off of them. And you know, they went into the game the other day. I think they're averaging just a little bit over one, a little over a point per turnover. And with the number of turnovers they have, I mean, if they could convert 50% of them, they would be in the playoff hunt. But, you know, there's just things you got to learn how to finish. And right now, up until, you know, Sunday, they really hadn't finished a football game.
Boomer Esiason on his morning show brought up the possibility again of Odell Beckham Jr. being traded to the Browns for 2 first-round picks. Would you make such a move?
No, not 2 first-round picks. I think, you know, when you got a player, you know, A, you know, he's been in the league for a few years, about his fifth year. And then B, you know, it's I think that's a lot to give up for a player that, you know, you might have headaches if things aren't going the right way.
I could see that, Doug. Hey, real quick, what are you doing during your bye week now? What are you going to do?
I did leaves yesterday.
You did leaves?
I was waiting for you to come over and help, but, you know, as long as I just waiting, I said, I know Ken's coming, but, you know, that's, I always wanted to be a coach in the NFL because I'd never have to do my leaves.
Once my sons get older, they will be over and they will take care of it for you. I promise. They are more than willing to pick up your leaves and any other droppings that you would want to leave around for them.
Well, just hook up one of those brooms to the back of that Ram truck you got.
Deke, thank you very much for the time, brother. All the best.
Okay.
The great Doug Deacon joining us on the show on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
We've got a lot of people that can – Doug's one of them. Daryl's one of them. A lot of people are saying – they really believe that this team is better coached in the way of discipline and penalties. I want to hear from you, Kenny. I want to hear if you really believe that, because I need to see way more than 2 games against those 2 teams to definitively say that.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.